Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Brian. Brian dribbling, has to put it up at the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA final.
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat your children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports, KOAL 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Happy to be along with you as we wrap up another week here on the show. It seems like this week really went by fast. Now, this weekend, it's a big couple of days in sports. Tomorrow, round one of the Final Four. That's proper, right? Round one of the Final Four. The first game will get Oklahoma and Villanova. A game is set for 4 p.m. Following that one, North Carolina will take on Syracuse, and then that'll set the stage for the national championship on Monday, Sunday night. It's opening day, well, Sunday, I guess you could say, in the morning. It's opening day for Major League Baseball. You cap that off with a rematch of last year's World Series. New York going up against Kansas City in the nightcap. So a really big sports weekend. We're going to focus heavy on Major League Baseball today. Steve Bordstein of Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico, he's going to join us on the show. Big baseball guy. Steve is your traditional sports broadcaster, like old school, loves horse racing, digs boxing, and knows a ton about Major League Baseball. So I'm excited to get Steve from Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico on the show today. We're going to talk baseball. Also, I'm going to go over the five main storylines that you cannot miss this year in Major League Baseball. I'll give you two of them right now. Ichiro and David Ortiz. Yes, they float around those two. We'll get into the logistics of it a little bit later on in the show. Let's dive into it, take a look at the national sports headlines. And really, it's been a rather slow day. One of the main stories, Kobe Bryant resisting an offer to play basketball in Barcelona following his career. So Kobe has already made the decision. He's going away from basketball following this year. He's going to focus on business. Last summer, Kobe was offered a contract by European club FC Barcelona for a chance to extend his basketball career overseas. According to reports, Kobe politely said no. The idea for FC Barcelona was to bring Kobe and Pau Gasol together one last time. This is the deal with Kobe, and I've been asked this several times. Do you think Kobe will ever come back? No. He's done. He's got seven more games in his career, and he's finished. His body simply will not allow him to continue. It's not a matter of wanting to play basketball. This is a guy that lives for the game. If Kobe could, he'd play till he's 60. He can't. And I think that's what the most difficult part about this season is. You know, you watch him play in Utah on Monday. He leaves the game. He's got ice on both shoulders, got ice on his knees. Against the Miami Heat just the other night, plays the first quarter. We don't see Kobe again. He's got ice on his ankles, his knees, his shoulders. Kobe physically cannot play anymore. Not shocking that he turns down the opportunity to play for FC Barcelona. I think Kobe always had the idea that he would play overseas before he ended his career. It's not happening. The ship has sailed. Kobe's career is over in seven more games, so take it all in. Watch him play as often as you can, because we're never going to see him play at a professional level once this season is over. It's done with. Here's a story regarding NASCAR, and it's very interesting, by the way. Dale Earnhardt Jr., he's a pledged organ donor, has said that women's soccer player Brandi Chastain and former Raider players pledging their brains for research have inspired him to follow suit. Here's the quote from Earnhardt Jr. "I was a donor already for many years, so it seemed like a reasonable thing for me to do. Anything I can do to help others. Hopefully science has advanced far beyond what it is today, and they don't need my brain. It was something I didn't have to ask myself whether I wanted to or not." After retweeting a story on Saturday about three former Raiders pledging to donate their brains in honor of Kenny Stabler, Earnhardt began to research just how he would go about doing it, and now he's definitely on board. So, you know, you see families often pledging or, you know, donating a loved one's brain. We've seen this with Junior Seau. Dale Jr. may in fact be the first NASCAR driver to donate his brain to science. Now, he's had two concussions. They both were different. His first concussion was back in 2012 when he crashed into the wall after having a tire blowout. The next one was in October that year. It happened when he was tagged and spun around a couple of times, and that caused an injury to his brainstem. So that's definitely an interesting story as we continue to evolve the process on evaluating, you know, when athletes should walk away, when athletes need to walk away and should no longer be allowed to play a game at a professional level. It's typically most common with boxing because you have state commissions and the individuals that sit on the board actually have a say on if you can fight or not. But now it's starting to trickle all the way down as far as the national sports scene goes. Let's take a look at the schedule in the NBA tonight. Things are heating up as far as the playoff race goes. Full slate of games tonight. We begin with a 5 o'clock hour. Philly will be on the road to take on Charlotte. Dallas at Detroit. Brooklyn at New York. 6 o'clock hour. Cleveland will take on Atlanta. Big game there. Toronto's on the road to take on Memphis. Orlando at Milwaukee. Here at 7 o'clock tonight on KOAL, Minnesota is on the road to take on the Utah Jazz. David Lockron Boone, they'll bring you the play-by-play call. Utah trying to get back on the winning track following a loss to Golden State. It's a big game if they want to keep out in front of Dallas and Houston. This is a very winnable game for the Jazz. Again, tip-off for tonight's contest is set for 7 p.m. 8 o'clock hour, we get Miami at Sacramento, Boston at Golden State, and Washington at Phoenix. It's a quick rundown of what's happening in the national sports scene. We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll give you the quick update on the local sports scene, and then we're going to be joined by Steve Bortstein as we start previewing the 2016 Major League Baseball season. That's all straight ahead here on Drive Time Sports.
Mayhem is everywhere.
I'm an extremely average golfer. What I lack in any real skill, I make up for in plaid knickers and ridiculous socks. My wife got me the world's biggest driver, and I've been waiting all week to try it out. So I step up to the tee, take my first full swing of the day, and hit a perfect duck hook over the frontage road and right through your windshield. You yank the wheel and end up OB in a water hazard. And if you have cut rate insurance, you could be out a whole lot of green. So get Allstate, where agents help protect you from mayhem, like me.
Call Price Allstate agent Don Manzanares today at 637-3344. Subject to terms, conditions, availability, and coverage selected. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company.
See what the personal service of an Allstate agent can do for you. Are you in good hands?
I swear, the state symbol of Utah should change from the beehive to the construction cone. I hit so many potholes, I thought I'd lose my whole car. When my front end started vibrating and shaking, it was no laughing matter. My friend told me to take my car to Auto Farm. I told her, that's a dealership, and they will take forever. Well, she set me straight. Yes, they are a dealership, so they have factory training to fix your vehicle right the first time, and in less time than other shops. Auto Farm fixed the shimmy. Auto Farm Service Department is now my service department.
Reporting from the KOAL newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. The Carbon Lady Dinos softball squad suffered their fourth consecutive loss of the season yesterday as they fell to Grand in extra innings by a final score of 3-2. Despite the setback, Taylor Passarella delivered a home run for the Dinos while Caton Cripps recorded the loss on the mound. Now, it has been a rough go for the Lady Dinos as of late. After starting the season 7-1, the team suffered a 10-0 loss to Uinta on March 18th, a 6-2 loss to North St. Pete on March 22nd, and this week, an 8-5 loss to American Fork before last night's defeat. The Lady Dinos will look to get back on the winning track and also look for their first region win as they take on Richfield Tuesday. This contest will be on the road, and it is scheduled for a 3:30 p.m. start. Sticking with high school sports, we move over to the soccer field, where yesterday the Emory Spartans suffered their first league loss of the season as they dropped a close one to Wasatch Academy 3-0 at home. Both teams entered the contest unbeaten in region play. The score was 1-0 Wasatch Academy at the end of the first half, but Wasatch used a powerful second half as Mutaba Jeriban and Sharbel Naimi both scored goals to give Wasatch Academy the win. Emory is now 2-1 in league play, and yesterday's setback ends a three-game winning streak that began back on March 17th. Emory will hope to get back on the right track Tuesday They'll play host to North Sevier. Start time for that game is 4 p.m. Next week, the team will also meet the Grand Red Devils. Start time for that game will be at 4. Both games next week will be at Emory High. Speaking of soccer, today the Carbon Dino Soccer Squad will be in action. They'll play host to the Canyon View Falcons. Both teams so far this season have gotten off to a 2-0 start in league play. After struggling to a slow start in non-league action, the Carbon Dinos secured a win over Juab on March 23rd and on Wednesday defeated Richfield 2-1. Following today's game, Carbon will have a week off. They'll next take to the field on Friday of April 8th when they travel to North San Pete. We move back over to softball, and it's been a while since we've seen the Emory Lady Spartans out on the field. In fact, they have not played since spring break. Their last game was on March 23rd. They'll take the remainder of this week off before they jump into action next week to take on the San Juan Broncos twice. Now, while the varsity team will be idle for the remainder of the weekend, the varsity squad will travel to Payson this weekend for a tournament. Yesterday on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, head coach Sean Bell was a guest, and he talked about how his team has played so far this year.
No, it's been a big learning curve for us. We have six girls that are either sophomore or freshman that start in varsity for us, so I think we've done a lot of improvements since the first of the year. We've been hitting the ball very well for the last, I'd say, five games. Our pitching is starting to get better, so I think everything's really looking up for us.
Even though the seniors on the team will not be able to play this weekend, Coach Bell says they were still very enthusiastic and demanded that they get to go along with the team.
You know, they asked me if they could go, so I believe they're going to go. I'm glad that they're wanting to be a part of the JV, and I think they're probably going to go. Yeah, we have six starters that will be able to play in the JV tournament.
Again, the Emory Lady Spartan varsity squad will return to the field next week as they play not one but two league games, both against San Juan. And finally, today, the USU Eastern baseball squad will play host to Colorado Northwestern in doubleheader action. These games were originally scheduled to take place in Rangeley, but due to inclement weather, the contests were moved to Price. That means that USU Eastern will finish the last 5 weeks of the season on the road. The first contest of the weekend today is scheduled for 1 p.m. The second game will follow immediately after. The two teams will once again go toe-to-toe tomorrow beginning at noon. And again, the second game, it'll follow immediately after. Right now, USU Eastern is in fifth place in the Scenic West Athletic Conference. They trail Colorado Northwestern by two games for third place, adding a lot of incentive in this weekend's contest. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting from the KOAL 103.9 FM newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
It's lunchtime. Time to relax from the office, meet up with old friends, and enjoy some delicious food. Looking for somewhere new to wet your palate? Well, the Carbon Country Club is open for lunch every Tuesday through Friday from 12 till 2. Their menu is full of fresh and satisfying dishes that are sure to wake up your appetite and refuel you to take on the rest of your day. Take your lunch break at the Carbon Country Club. Try something new and unwind in a relaxing private atmosphere. Carbon Country Club, just off Highway 6, is your new lunchtime getaway.
Do you have a warranty on your vehicle and you're sick of waiting to get it into a shop to get the repairs done? Wait no more. Supreme Auto Repair will have your vehicle looked at within 2 hours in most cases. And they have factory certified technicians that can perform any warranty work on your vehicle. Supreme will fix your vehicle when you want it done. Even if you want it done today, no problem. So how would you like to never hear this again?
I'm sorry, but we will not be able to look at your car for 2 weeks.
Supreme Auto Repair in the Piccolo Auto Plaza, on First North, behind Smith's.
Fawcett Mortuary asks, how do you want to be remembered?
I would like to be remembered as a loving husband and father.
I want to be remembered as somebody who made a difference in this world.
I'd like to be remembered as somebody who treated people with love and respect.
I'd like to be remembered as a man with integrity.
It's your story to tell. What will be said about you? Call us today in Price at 637-1181. Or in Castledale at 381-2551 to learn more about the many benefits of advanced funeral planning.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 and 103.9 FM, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Golden Eagles.
Ah! We're back here on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 103.9 FM, 7:50 a.m. Friday. We've made it to the end of the week, and there's definitely a lot of sports on the national front for the for you to indulge in throughout the weekend. We got the Final Four Saturday and Monday, but you cannot forget about Major League Baseball. It actually begins on Sunday. It's creeped right up on us, and joining us over the mic right now, over the phone, from New Mexico, Fox Sports 1340, we have Steve Bordstein. He's the host of First Sports. Steve, first off, it's always a pleasure to get you on. I appreciate the time again today.
Always a pleasure, my friend. It's good to be getting ready for Major League Baseball. Best time of the year is when you get all these things happening at once.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I mean, you're the type of guy, you really get into Major League Baseball. You're an enthusiast when you talk about it. This weekend, it gets real.
Yeah, we're back on the diamond again this weekend. And what a great game to start off things on Sunday night with a rematch of the World Series last year, and you get to see the Kansas City Royals raise the banner, which is the first time they've done that in 30 years. You get to see the New York Mets, who between them and the Cubs, everyone's kind of raving about these two teams, and probably justifiably so. I mean, I think when you look at the Mets on paper, you look at the Cubs on paper. I mean, they just have these imposing rotations, these imposing lineups that really do speak to the jobs that these general managers and these clubhouses have done in the offseason to really improve both those teams and set them both up for big runs in the National League.
I almost feel dirty saying that I expect the Chicago Cubs to contend for the World Series this year. It just doesn't seem right. It's been a while, but I know that many pundits, many who follow Major League Baseball, expected this about 3-4 years after Theo Epstein took over. That's just what Theo does.
It does. And you can't argue that success. I mean, you could have argued maybe it was a fluke almost when it happened in Boston. You could have argued, okay, well, they were due. But you see the job that Theo Epstein's done. And what he said from the outset was, trust the process. This is going to take a couple of years. And what you've seen is this rapid development here. And it really does speak to Theo Epstein as not just a general manager, but it really speaks to, a motivating factor of what makes him so good at what he does. And it's amazing right now. This team might be, legitimately their best chance at snapping the longest World Series drought in baseball's only slightly longer history. Remember, it's 1908. I mean, so this isn't like, this isn't like the Royals that waited 30 years. Sometimes that by 3.5. I mean, that's how long it's been. And I would say now with the addition of Jason Hayward and the addition of John Lackey to that rotation, that is a loaded franchise right now.
To put it in perspective, sliced bread had not been created the last time the Chicago Cubs won the World Series. That's a fact.
Yeah, I mean, and it's amazing when you look at that rotation. I think it's all going to depend on the rotation. And arguably, like I said a moment ago, it's between them and the Mets as far as the most imposing starting rotation out there. If Jake Arrieta even has even some semblance of the second half of last season that he had, throw in Lester, throw in Lackey, throw in Jason Hamill. I mean, even the number five guy, Kyle Hendricks. I mean, these are five serious pitchers right there. And if they stay healthy and they do their thing, that is going to be a scary, scary proposition for the rest of that National League Central right now, which, you look around the rest of the National League Central, it's the usual suspects, Pittsburgh and St. Louis. Pittsburgh's not getting any younger, neither is St. Louis, and they didn't really do that much, I didn't think, to improve their case in the offseason, where Chicago did everything right, I thought, this offseason.
Yeah, and it was this time last year you and I were talking about the Chicago Cubs and how you handle Chris Bryant. Now, a lot of people, this was a big controversy last year. A lot of people didn't agree with the handling of Bryant in his rookie campaign. I think it paid dividends for this squad, Steve. When you look at it now on paper in the grand scheme of things, Chris Bryant's legit. I think they played it perfectly. Plus, you got to the postseason last year with him.
Right, and now the ceiling again, and we're going to talk about the ceilings on young players here in a moment with another kid, but I mean, the Chris Bryant story is phenomenal, and what he was able to accomplish in that short amount of time is nothing short of remarkable. And I mean, you look at some of the storylines, as far as, the Chris Bryant story is concerned, the way they handled him. I mean, even the guys they lost this season, they lost Starlin Castro, but when the Cubs moved him to second base last year, year. He did great. So that's a big loss for them. But even with that loss, you know, I still think you look at this team and some of the names that they've got on that team, and you mentioned again Chris Bryant. If he has anywhere near that kind of season again, it's going to be amazing.
Again, our guest right now is Steve Bordstein from Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico as we talk opening weekend for Major League Baseball. Speaking of prospects and young guys who have high ceilings, Corey Seager for the Dodgers. Now, the Dodgers are just a weird team this year. I do believe they got worse over the offseason. And as far as the NL West goes, you could make a case for the Dodgers being the front runner. You could also make a case for the Dodgers finishing third in this division. But Corey Seager may be the most intriguing, no, probably about it. He is the most intriguing prospect that we'll see in 2016.
If he continues to adjust the way he did at the tail end of 2015, you know, he's still eligible for Rookie of the Year. So I would put him in that conversation. I mean, I think he's that good where he's going to have that opportunity. If he continues to adjust the way he did, and what's interesting is how does the rest of the, quote, leadership on that team handle him? Because he's that hot young prospect right now. Well, we saw what happened to the hot young prospect in Yasiel Puig, where he got too big for his britches. We saw what happened at the tail end of 2015 with the other hot young prospect in Jock Peterson, who went from being one of the hottest young hitters in the National League to a guy who struck out literally every time he came to the plate. So you need Seager to really step up for the Dodgers this season. If he does, look, you know, he'll help that lineup. He'll help Carl Crawford. He'll help Adrian Gonzalez, and they're going to need it because those guys are going to rely on him also. Everyone needs to rely on each other here, especially when you've got this shaky second half of the rotation here. Yes, you know, the Clayton Kershaw thing is great, but you get beyond Kenta Maeda, who I think is going to wind up being the number two starter. You get beyond that, then it's Scott Kazmir, then it's Alex Wood, then it's Carlos Frias. You need them to just be average at best right now. You know, if we're talking about this team as a legitimate National League West contender, the loss of Greinke is going to be, I don't know if we're going to feel it until you get to May or June, but I think that's when you're going to feel it here, especially if Maeda, if he's the number two guy, then your 3, 4, and 5 guys, if they don't deliver, that's when you really feel the Greinke loss.
Steve, I want to stick with the Dodgers here for just a second. Now, I in no way, shape, or form am I comparing Yasiel Puig's hype, the flashes of greatness that we've seen from him during his rookie campaign, to that of Bryce Harper's. But I will say this, Washington is a little bit more patient with their baseball than Los Angeles. And at one point in time, it was a legitimate conversation. Would you rather have Puig and his ceiling, or would you rather have Mike Trout? Right now, that debate is laughable. And regardless if pundits want to admit it, that was a legitimate conversation just a couple of years ago. Is it a make it or break it MVP candidate type season for Puig in LA?
It's a make or break it season as just to whether or not he's going to be, you know, a guy that we compare to in a favorable sense among the, you know, the so-called Latin players, the Cuban players, or if he's just going to be a footnote. I mean, I don't think we're talking MVP here in any way, shape, or form. I mean, he literally would have to turn things around in such a monumental way, and I don't think the Dodgers need him to be the MVP. And I think that should be the conversation going in here is, look, we don't need you to be a superstar. We just need you to be the best version of you that you can be. I don't need him to be Mr. Everything. I just need him to be a guy who's going to hustle, who's going to work with the other guys in the clubhouse, especially with the new manager and Dave Roberts. You don't have to be everything. And that's been his problem. That's been Yasiel Puig's problem this whole time, is I think he went in there believing that not only can I be Mr. Everything, but I have to be Mr. Everything. And I think that's a mindset that has to go away from him. As far as the comparison, you know, between Puig and Trout, I agree, it's laughable. Would I rather have a Puig than a Harper? I'll argue both sides on this one because, let's face it, as talented a player as Bryce Harper is, the Washington Nationals are just one more, you know, player getting choked in the dugout away from imploding again, you know. And the same thing can be said for the Dodgers. The Dodgers are just one more mutiny of Don Mattingly away from imploding themselves. So I think both teams are in very similar situations. Both have a lot of very talented players. Both are just one thing short of blowing up an entire entire season.
Yeah, with Puig, before we start talking MVP, let's start small and let's start hitting the cutoff man on a regular basis, right?
Yeah, exactly. Let's start being able to throw to the second baseman instead of trying to throw all the way to home plate when you don't have to, and that way a single doesn't turn into a double and a runner in scoring position with one out. That would be great. If we can learn that one thing at a time, and I think that's where we're going to find out right away about Dave Roberts. I understand he's a player's guy. We always hear that about managers. Well, he's a player's coach. He's a player's manager. That's great. Is he going to help? That's all I care about at the end of the day. Is he going to be a better manager of players? Because that's what the job is. The job is a better manager of talent. The job is a better manager of situations. Is he going to be a better guy for that position than Don Mattingly was? Because as bad as even with the Dodgers having won that division, that was a team you could tell the mindset on that team, even going into the postseason, that was not a team that was poised for a long postseason run. Mets, Cubs, you could tell they had that momentum, not so much the Dodgers. That needs to change. Remember, the thing I always use here, the metric I always use, whenever it's a new coach or a new manager, are the results with the new guy better than the last guy? And that's how you determine success here. So for Dave Roberts, this is a high ceiling for him to achieve here. He's got to win the National League West. That's not easy. That's not easy for any manager, but especially for a first-year manager. He's got to win the National League West, or most Dodgers fans, myself included, will consider this move to be either a simple move, from point A to point A, or it's going to go down. And that's not good for the Dodgers because they're not getting any younger. That's going to be even worse in the offseason next year.
Absolutely. So we bounced around the National League here a bit. We talked about the Cardinals, the Cubs. We've talked about the Mets, briefly talking about the Nationals and the Pirates. I'm going to put you on the spot, Steve. I'll give you my picks first off as far as division winners go, because you got to make a prediction before opening day. And the National League East, give me the Mets. And the Central, I'm going to go with the Cubs. And the West, I will stick with the Dodgers. I have my doubts about L.A. in the West. I think San Francisco can push them. I think San Diego and Arizona could push them. But ultimately, those would be my three division winners as it stands right now.
I'll give you the Cubs in the Central. I'll give you the Mets in the East. I'm going to go Giants in the National League West. I think the Giants are putting together something pretty decent this year. Johnny Cueto, if he turns out to be that guy, I think he's the one that's going to make a difference here. I think if he returns to form, if Samardzija returns to form, you got Madison Bumgarner all season long. We know what he can do. I think Jake Peavy might have something left here. That's not a bad rotation if they keep things going there. I look at that team right now as a team that's going to be very, very, very good. It's that even year thing. I don't know if that has anything to do with it at all. But I think the Dodgers and Giants go down to the wire. I think the Giants win the division.
And you got to definitely give them the nod as far as Bruce Bochy goes. One of the best managers that we've seen in the past 15 years, hands down. So
No question about it. And again, we talk about that guy who's a manager of talent. And Bochy is a guy, I always talk about managers as chess players. I would not want to play chess with Bruce Bochy. I think he is a master of looking ahead 5-6 steps down the road. A chess player knows what move you're going to make 7 moves from now. So does Bruce Bochy. That's why I think he'll have this team poised for a big run, I think, in September.
Steve, we're running out of time for this particular segment. We haven't even dipped into the American League. Do you have time to hang around for one more segment today?
I do indeed.
Absolutely fantastic stuff. Steve Bordstein of Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico will join us when we return, and we're going to break down the American League here on Drive Time Sports.
Hot wings, pizza, fried chicken. What's your favorite snack while watching TV? No matter what you like to snack on, Smith's Food and Drug has you covered. Stop into the Hot Deli where you'll find a lot of prepared foods ready to enjoy. Barbecued rotisserie and fried chicken, corn dogs, potato salads, pasta salads, and baked beans. Fresh sliced meats and cheeses are just some of the great things that you'll find at your neighborhood Smith's Food and Drug. Check Smith's out today and remember the short line guarantee. If there are two or more people in line, Smith's opens another check stand.
Crab fishing, one of the deadliest jobs in the country. Fishermen go toe-to-toe with Mother Nature using 700-pound steel traps that are dropped 400 feet below the ocean surface to capture this delicacy. But we live in the desert, and there's no crab anywhere.
Until now. It's the brand new Crab Oscar Pizza at Big Don's in Price. This creation is a white sauce-based pizza topped with bacon, onions, asparagus, and crab. Get yours today at Big Don's, located at 170 West 100 North in Price. Call 637-DONS for takeout or delivery.
The Criminal Justice Program at USU Eastern is one of the most popular programs on the campus. The criminal justice field offers a wide variety of job options with this degree, not just in law enforcement and corrections, but also careers in the court system and attorneys or at their law offices. Their classes are generally smaller, and they have the lowest tuition rates in the state. There is also financial aid available for those that qualify. For more information on the Criminal Justice Program at USU Eastern, contact Scott Henry at 435-613-5135.
Some people like long drives to spend more. Others like to shop local for a great deal every day at Tony Basso GM. You'll get the best price or get $500.
Hi, this is John Duras, Fleet and Internet Sales Manager at Tony Basso GM. I'm a lifelong resident of Barben County with nearly 40 years of sales and customer service experience. Check us out at TonyBassoGM.com. Call or text me at 650-7444.
The best price, a great deal, locally, every day at Tony Basso GM.
Spring has sprung at Sutherland's. Create the lawn of your dreams. Broadcast handheld spreaders are easy to use and uniformly spreads lawn fertilizer or grass seed. Right now, only $3.99. Save $100 on a new 6-foot picnic table. Stain resistant and folds flat for storage. Just $159.99. Renew your exterior with an outdoor oil-rubbed bronze wall light. It has three mounting options. Just $19.99 for a twin pack. Sutherland's, saving you money every day.
I'm Joe Wade for McCullough, and you're listening to Jordan Buscarini on KOAL AM 750, Castle Country Sports Radio.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back.
Welcome back.
Oh, hey, man, how you doing?
We're back here on Drive Time Sports as we preview the weekend of Major League Baseball. Opening day, it's right around the corner. Sunday night, Steve was talking about it during the last segment as we get a rematch of last year's World Series between the New York Mets and the Kansas City Royals. Steve will pick it up right with the American League. I mean, the Kansas City Royals, defending World Series champions. What do you expect out of the World Series champs this year, particularly in a very, I don't want to say watered down, but it's a very different look for the Central. It's not what it has been, and they proved that last season.
Well, we mentioned Johnny Cueto. I mean, how big a loss is that going to be? You know, it took him until the World Series to find out what Johnny Cueto actually was. But, you know, Ben, you know, I think we're going to find out a lot about this Royals team right away. Ian Kennedy, if he turns out to be that guy, you know, that they need right there, then Ian Kennedy is going to be a big factor for them. If he works out, then I think we're looking at a repeat for the Kansas City Royals. They're just that team that, you know, when you look, if you're a Sabre Metro guy, you hate this team because they don't do anything flashy, but what they do is they swarm, and when they get on base, they're dangerous, and they make teams play, you know, defensively aggressive, and when teams play aggressive defensively, they make mistakes, and that's what the Royals take advantage of. The Royals are masters at that, and that's Ned Yost. He's just a mad scientist, and that's what I like about this team, is that I don't think they don't play a conventional sense of baseball, and I like that. I like the more, you know, danger and part about it. The rotation, I mentioned Ian Kennedy a moment ago. If Volquez and Ventura continue to be the guys that they've been, you know, so far, then yeah, that's a good top three. The bottom part of that rotation is what worries me. Chris Young, Chris Medlin, I don't know how deep that rotation is, and that could be a factor, especially in an American League Central where, let's face it, there's a lot of really good offense in that American League Central. Minnesota got better. Detroit's going to be better. Cleveland's gotten better. So the margin of error for Kansas City is going to be a lot narrower now. And, you know, they're going to have to make sure that as aggressive as they are on the base paths, they're going to have to play smart defense, because Detroit's not going to be as bad as they were last year, and Minnesota's putting something together as well.
Yeah, I think if you look at the division front to back, the team that I view as the biggest threat to Kansas City, and I don't know how much of a threat I really consider them, I think it's going to be Chicago. I mean, the Adam LaRose Roach saga gave us plenty to talk about during the offseason for the White Sox. But let's be honest here. They added Todd Frazier. I think that gives the offense a jolt in the middle of the lineup. Brett Lowry could also help out big time as far as the infield goes. And then they add Austin Jackson. This team, I think, made the biggest moves as far as names go. And then I look at Cleveland. This is a team that maybe didn't necessarily add the big names, but they definitely improved their roster as well. But, Steve, I just view Chicago as one of the big threats to Kansas City in this division.
Well, I hope they put the drama of this whole Drake LaRoche thing behind them, because I'd like to believe they did. I just don't know if they did. And the unfortunate part of something like that is it does expose what a locker room is made of. And if that issue doesn't go away, and we're going to know the first 2 weeks. You're going to know right away what this White Sox team is capable of. And I agree with you. If the Frazier-Lowry lineup is going to be a part of this, then okay, let's see that team happen. My worry is that everything that happened in these last few weeks with that Adam LaRoche and Drake LaRoche saga, there's no trust in management, there's no trust in the clubhouse. You know, you have that. We're seeing how that situation is playing out with the LA Lakers. And I'm not comparing, but when you have a small group of guys, and I mentioned the Lakers because there's 12 guys in an NBA roster, there's 25 guys in a major league locker room. When you have a small group of guys, it's harder to keep everyone apart. It's harder to keep those factions apart. When you have 53 or 60 guys and trainers and coaches and everything else for an NFL team, it's a little easier. When it's a smaller group of guys, they're all traveling at the same time, and they're all on 162 days, and it's a grind, those things are going to come up again and again. And that's the thing. If they give out to a fast start, you'll never hear the name LaRoche again. But if they're 10-20 for the first month of the season, oh, yeah, that's going to come up.
Yeah, definitely. No, I agree. Let's move on to what I always deem as the most interesting division in Major League Baseball, and that's the AL East. I don't know that there's going to be a lot of difference this season between first and worst, and that's a good thing. That's what makes this division so interesting. Toronto, they got big bats. They got questionable starting pitching. Boston, you go out, you get David Price. It's David Ortiz's final season. Then you look at Baltimore. I think for them, it's can they outscore opponents? Better pitching is going to make Baltimore obviously a contender. We've seen this last year. Tampa Bay, probably the best pitching in the division, but by far the weakest bats. Then you got New York. They probably have the best bullpen. I see, you know, I guess aspects of each team that you could build a super team with out of this division. First to worst, I think, is going to be very close in the East.
I agree. And for the Toronto Blue Jays, this is it. This is the last year of everything. This is going to be the year that it either happens or it doesn't happen. And they've got everything in place. You've got Encarnacion. You got Jose Bautista. If those guys produce, it's over. I think that's the thing. If those guys produce, then I think everything falls into place. If Marcus Stroman steps up, if J.A. Happ, you know, if he happens to improve, then I think you're looking at a rotation there that's good. I think you're looking at an offense that's very good. And I think they win the division because they've got the right people in place. I don't mind they lost David Price, because David Price, to me, they got just 11 starts out of him and they got 74 innings. Yes, they were very good starts, but I think the replacements for him have been good. I like the Blue Jays a lot this year, but again, it's feast or famine, because if it doesn't happen now, you can write the Blue Jays off for probably the next 5 to 6 years, because they put all their eggs into one basket right now.
Which, you know what, I'm all for, and I know if you're a Toronto Blue Jay fan, you probably are as well. Go all in. Especially in today's age and free agency. Go all in, especially the way free agency works today in Major League Baseball.
No, absolutely, because you have one chance to win, and if this is the team, then I'm good with it. I like Stroman. I like the way he's come back into this rotation. I think he's ready to lead this rotation, and if he is, then I think that team is set for a deep, deep run. As you mentioned with the other teams in the American League East, I have been a Baltimore Orioles guy. I have tried to back the Orioles for a long time now, and every year it's the same story with the Orioles. And you said it a moment ago. They just just can't score enough runs. As good as they have been from a pitching standpoint, they just don't score. And I'm just so tired of it right now. And, you know, Yovani Gallardo has been very good in what's a hitter-friendly ballpark in Baltimore. I think if he continues to do that. But, you know, even if things go well, I mean, it's just a case of, you know, can they stay healthy long enough? Can they score enough runs? Can they compete with these teams like Boston and New York and Toronto that will score runs? And that we know they're going to score runs because that's what they're built to do.
Steve Bordstein, Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico, host of First Sports, joining us right now as we preview the upcoming Major League Baseball season. Let's move to the AL West. I mean, Houston probably considered the front runner by a lot of people. They add Ken Giles to the bullpen. They don't lose a whole lot. Correa is a budding superstar on this team. Dallas Keuchel, probably going to be the favorite for the Cy Young. Then you look at Texas. I think it's a two-pony race in this division, Steve. If you get a full season of Cole Hamels, you get Yu Darvish. That's a pretty decent rotation, you know, starting right off of the top there for the Rangers as well. So the two teams from Texas at the top of the standings, no doubt.
I'm going to go a different direction.
Really?
I am. I'm going to go in on Seattle this year. I like what I've seen from them. I'm aware that they're a team that's just bred to disappoint people. But what I like about the Mariners, what I like about them is this isn't a star-studded rotation, but they're a hungry rotation. And I think that's something you have to have. And that's something I like about this Seattle team a little bit. What I like about Seattle also is what they've done in the offseason. Jerry DePoto's not on the field, but he's a new addition. And when you bring in a guy with some baseball experience and you bring in some new blood, in the front office there, that changes the mentality downstairs. That changes the mentality down there. I like Seattle. I think they've got one shot here to get this done. And I think if you can get, you know, if you can get this team to put things together, because the feast or famine again every year with Texas, Houston. I think that was a one shot deal where Houston played up, and I don't know if they do it again. I think the Scott Kazmir loss is huge for them. It's not difficult for me to envision Carlos Gomez at some point going all Carlos Gomez, whether it's with his attitude or his rank insubordinate behavior at times, or him getting injured. And I know that's coming, and that bothers me there a little bit. So I'm going to go for Seattle here. It's a bit of a long shot in the AL West.
It's a long shot, but I like the rotation. I mean, let's be honest. You're rolling out probably Wade Miley is going to be third in the rotation. I mean, come on. That's not a bad line, not a bad rotation at all. I worry about the pieces in the field every day. That's my biggest worry with Seattle.
I agree, and I think you can say that for every team here. What's funny is you and I have talked about Houston, Seattle, Texas. We haven't mentioned the Angels, and by far, they're probably the most talented, laden team, just as far as the guys who are hitting. You've got Mike Trout, you've got Albert Pujols, you've got guys here who can hit the ball, but and it's amazing to me how miserably average this team is every single year. I don't think they're outright bad, but they could just be very average and boring. And with the exception of Mike Trout, I just don't know if there's enough puzzle pieces there to put together a winning recipe.
No, I don't believe there is. Weaver is done. C.J. Wilson is done. His career never began in Anaheim. He was done the moment he got there. And then I look at Albert Pujols. I don't know what you're going to get from him. Of course, living in Utah with the AAA affiliate, the Salt Lake Bees, just about 100 miles away, we know the system doesn't have a whole lot of depth. I think it spells doom for the Angels for the next couple of years. This is another team that went all in free agency, that they gave us a lot to talk about for a couple of years, Steve. It just didn't come to fruition the way they had envisioned.
No, I agree. I agree completely. And you just wonder at some point, you know, all the high price guys they spent for, all the Albert Pujols deals, and then okay, you got Mike Trout for a billion years here, but he's not going to be happy. And I don't think you want to make Mike Trout a discontent guy on that roster right now, because that's not going to go well down the road. You're in the second biggest media market in America. And you don't need that guy being discontent.
No. Steve, before I let you go, of course, we got to get the predictions on the AL division winners. I'll get rolling with it. In the East, I've got back and forth on this one. I think it's going to be a battle between Toronto and Boston. I think Boston has something for the race, but give me Toronto. If we move down to the West, this may be one of the most intriguing races that we will see because, again, I think you have some very average teams that will be competing. Give me Houston. I know you're not high on Houston, but I'm going to take the Astros of the West, and I'll go with the Royals in the Central.
All right, give me the Blue Jays in the East. Give me the Royals in the Central because I think that's the no-brainer of them all. And then give me the Mariners out West.
Steve Bordstein, Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico, host of First Sports. Steve, tell the listeners how they can get more Steve Bordstein.
No, we don't want that. No, I'm on the air 7 to 10 a.m. weekday morning, 7 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time, 9 to noon Eastern. You can listen online through our iHeartRadio app at our website at foxsports1340.com. I, like Jordan, who does a fantastic job on his show, I do a weekday sports show 7 to 10 a.m., and then I do a show on weekends called The Fast Track for all you horse racing fanatics out there, 8 a.m. Mountain Time, 10 a.m. Eastern. And, again, you can find it online through our iHeartRadio app at our website at foxsports1340.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at Fox1340AM.
Steve, it's so great to get you on. Thank you for taking out the time for not one but two segments. Enjoy opening weekend. Enjoy the Final Four, and I know we'll talk again next week.
And enjoy WrestleMania Sunday night.
I forgot all about it. Who's fighting in WrestleMania?
Oh, it's the best match of the best match of the whole thing is going to be Shane McMahon versus The Undertaker.
Yeah, I think my Sunday night's booked.
Wow.
You're a wrestling guy.
I am. I'm kind of a weird fanatic about it.
Well, that's okay. Look,
okay, follow me on Twitter. I'll make sure you never miss a moment.
Okay, it's fantastic. I'm sold. I'm going to follow Steve on Twitter this weekend so I can.
Thanks for the time.
Hey, thank you, Steve. We'll be back in just a moment. When we return, we're going to talk about storylines in Major League Baseball and what exactly you should be following this year. It's coming up right after this.
You've worked and cooked all week long. Insist that your other half takes you to the Cowboy Kitchen in Wellington for the Saturday night special. This is Ty at the Cowboy Kitchen. Each Saturday, we offer a different five-course meal consisting of appetizer, soup, salad, entree, and dessert for only $24.25. Want a night out in the middle of the week? Every Wednesday, I create a unique pasta dish complete with soup, salad, and bread for only $14.95. At the Cowboy's Kitchen, we serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. We open at 7 a.m. and close at 10 p.m., close at 11 p.m. Friday and Saturday.
Do your employees get frustrated waiting for their computers to load? Does it take forever to upload photo or video files to your website? Emory Telecom's Extreme Internet is a surefire way to increase your employees' happiness, as well as your customers. Emory Telecom has internet at just the right speeds for business with 3 employees or max speeds for larger businesses. Ethernet connections are available for businesses with multiple locations. Don't let your slow internet cause your workforce to become unproductive or unprofitable. Call for Extreme Internet from Emory Telecom today, 613-9605.
Hi, this is Marisa Madsen, the new physical therapist and director of rehab at Pinnacle Nursing and Rehab. During the winter season, falls, elective surgery, and winter illness can mean that our loved ones need extra help or specialized care. At Pinnacle Nursing and Rehab, our mission is to help rehabilitate your loved one and get them back home in a safe and timely manner. We invite you to tour our facility and see how our great team can benefit your loved one. Call 637-9213 for more information.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes. And you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work. I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, 3 more fingers for everyone over 60, 2 over 50, 1 over 40, one more if you're not physically active, another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes, another if you've got high blood pressure, if you're overweight, raise another finger, 2 if you're very overweight, and 3 if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up 5 or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
This is not Ron Artest. This is Tim Northern. And Drive Time Sports is what you're listening to with Jordan Buscarini. You know, I played golf with Jordan one time, and he sucks.
1, 2, 1, woo!
We're back to put the final touches on this week of Drive Time Sports. I dedicate the entire show to Major League Baseball. And before we wrap things up, let me give you some storylines that you got to follow. First off, that's Big Poppy. It's his final year in the bigs. It's been a sad year for sports. I'm not going to group Big Poppy in the same categories like a Derek Jeter, although he's very good. He's a Hall of Famer. His home run total has increased the last 3 years. He's 40 years old. Another guy that we have to say goodbye to. You just kind of expect to see the Big Poppy in a Boston Red Sox uniform. So you say goodbye to Big Poppy, say goodbye to Peyton Manning and Kobe Bryant. Had three guys that have been mainstays in their sports for quite some time. The final hurrah for Big Poppy. 37 home runs last year, the highest total in his statistical category since knocking 54 back in 2006. I think he's going to be big for the Red Sox this year. I think they have a great chance of winning the AL East. I have them coming in second. Kind of tough to go against the bats of the Blue Jays. The rotation, you just don't know. But I think it's going to be fairly difficult for Boston to get there as far as the division crown goes. Nonetheless, one of the big storylines, follow the Big Poppy. How about Ichiro? He's chasing history as well. Can he get to the 3,000 hit club? There's only 28 other guys in Major League Baseball history to do it. Ichiro is going to enter the season with 2,935 hits. So the countdown is definitely on. Coming in his second year with the Miami Marlins. Last year, I believe he had 91 hits. He's going to have a similar role. He has a great chance of getting there. He needs 65 hits to get to the 3,000 hit club. That's something that you could probably follow all year long. You're going to hear about it often. Ichiro trying to get to 3,000. The Mets and their rotation. That's going to be an interesting storyline throughout the entire year. We just talked to Steve Bordstein about that. Here's one that I really like, though. Bryce Harper. You realize Bryce Harper is only 23 years old? Coming off an MVP season, led the National League in pretty much every offensive category. He's got that personality, somewhat polarizing. But he's one chokehold away in the Nationals' dugout from really turning that team upside down. So, with the spotlight on Bryce Harper, he's the kind of guy that has a flamboyant personality, but the spotlight is always on him. Cameras are always on Bryce Harper. He's got to be on his best behavior. How far do the Nats go? I don't know. Probably not very far. But now let's see if he can be a team leader. Is he going to be able to surpass last season's numbers? Probably not. I think he's got the capability of doing it. But keep the expectations within reasoning. Keep them within reason. All in all, it should be a very entertaining baseball year. And of course, you're wondering if the Royals can get rolling. Try to establish a dynasty in Major League Baseball. That's something that's very difficult to do. So a lot of great storylines coming up as far as the major leagues. We want to thank Steve Bordstein for taking out the time to join us for not one, but two segments on the show today. Monday, we'll be back at it. Local sports will amp back up next week, so we'll be covering them heavy here on the show. Remember, you can follow Drive Time Sports on Twitter at Drive Time Sports. It's very simple. You can also give us a follow on Facebook, Castle Country Sports Radio. And you can also go to CastleCountryRadio.com, click on the Drive Time Sports link. You can archive past shows throughout the week and interviews. I'll see you on Monday. Same time, same place. Have a safe weekend. I am out.